Hare Krishna. Good morning. So today we're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila Chapter 6, The Liberation of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And we have texts 83 and 84. So I'll just read 83 and then together we'll do 84. The Acharya continued. This is Gopinath Acharya speaking to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. The Acharya continued, if one receives but a tiny bit of the Lord's favor by dint of devotional service, he can understand the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So text 84 will do, this is actually a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 14, text 29. Chapter 14 is Lord Brahma's prayers to Lord Krishna after he realized that Lord Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because Brahma had stolen all the calves and cows and put them in a cave, and then Krishna manifested himself as each individual cow and calf with all their individual personalities and characteristics. And at that time, Brahma spoke this chapter 14, which is full of very powerful, realized prayers. So this is one of those verses. Translation. My Lord, if one is favored by even a slight trace of the mercy of your lotus feet, he can understand the greatness of your personality. But those who speculate in order to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead are unable to know you, even though they continue to study the Vedas for many years. I say, you say? My Lord.
My Lord.
If one is favored by even a slight trace of the mercy of your lotus feet, he can understand the greatness of your personality. But those who speculate in order to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are unable to know you, even though they continue to study the Vedas for many years. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The verse above is from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.29. The Brahma Samhita states, Vedeshu Durlabham Adurlabham Atma Bhakto. Brahma Samhita 5.33. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is the ultimate goal of knowledge, Vedaischa Sarvair Aham Eva Vedya. One who is not a pure devotee and who is not engaged in the service of the Lord cannot understand him. Lord Brahma therefore confirms this, Vedeshu Durlabham. It is very difficult to understand the Supreme Lord simply through one's studies. Adurlabham Atma Bhakto. However, it is very easy for the devotees to capture the Lord. The Lord is known as Ajita, unconquerable. No one can conquer the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but the Lord consents to be conquered by his devotees. That is his nature. Atah Shri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grayam Indriyai Sevan Mukhehi Jivado Svayam Eva Spuratiyada. Being pleased by the devotional activities, the Lord reveals himself to his devotees. That is the way to understand him. The verse from Srimad Bhagavatam quoted by Gopinath Acharya, which was originally spoken by Lord Brahma when he was defeated by Lord Krishna. Lord Brahma had stolen all the calves and cowherd boys in order to test Krishna's power. Lord Brahma admitted that his own extraordinary powers within the universe were not in the least comparable to the unlimited powers of Lord Krishna. If Lord Brahma can make a mistake in understanding Krishna, what to speak of ordinary persons who either misunderstand Krishna or falsely present a so-called incarnation of Krishna for their own sense gratification. Om Yamat Marandasya Ganam Jana Salakaya Chakshurunya Tamya Tasma Shri Gurudeva Shri Chaitanya Manovisham Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamaya Vadati Svapanantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sarvajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitamtam Sajiva Sadvaitam Sarvadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamsha Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Mostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangye Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haribhe Vanshakalpa Turibhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanejo Vaishnavejo Namo Namah Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now the verse once more. My Lord, if one is favored by even a slight trace of the mercy of your lotus feet, he can understand the greatness of your personality. For those who speculate in order to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead are unable to know you, even though they continue to study the Vedas for many years. Hare Krishna. So I must say, it's so nice to sit in front of actual people instead of a computer screen. It's really, it's a luxury. And thank you for being here. I've been sitting in front of people in front of computer screens for many months now. So this is an opulence for me. So I thought since we're beginning 2021, we could just briefly review what we studied in this chapter, this section of the Madhyalila. Not the chapter, but the beginning of Madhyalila. We're on chapter 6. So earlier in the year, last year, we were studying how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a grihastha, living with a highly qualified wife and a very devotional mother, but he was not respected. And people actually committed offenses against him, especially some students. So he decided, he was only 24 years old, but he decided to accept sannyas because at that time in India, sannyasis were respected. And simply by respecting, offering respects to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one acquires pious credits. And conversely, if one offends the Supreme Personality of Godhead, knowingly or unknowingly, one is pushed farther and farther from devotion. So it was an act of mercy on the part of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to benefit people in general, that he made this sacrifice and gave up his grihastha ashram. He went to Katpa and accepted sannyas from Keshav Bharati, and then immediately he wanted to go to Vrindavan. But Lord Nityananda Prabhu, with his trickery, he diverted the Lord. And instead he went to Shantipur and was hosted by Advaita Acharya. And when the residents of Navadvipa heard what had happened, they all gathered in Shantipur, and there was a great festival for 10 days. And then Sachi Devi came, Lord Chaitanya's mother, and of course she was overwhelmed to see her son take this unprecedented step. Very emotional time. And on her request, she cooked for all the devotees, and then she requested the Lord, rather than making his base Vrindavan, if he would please make his base of activities Jagannath Puri. So it was on the request of his mother that he did that, and he was based in Jagannath Puri for the next 24 years, although he did travel. He made that his base. So after the festival in Shantipur, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left for Jagannath Puri with four associates. And they were Nityananda Prabhu, Mukunda Dutt, Damodar Pandit, and Jagadananda Pandit. So it was five of them. And on the way, they stopped in Ramuna. And at that time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu related a pastime that he had heard from his spiritual master, Ishvara Puri, about Madhavendra Puri, how Madhavendra Puri went to Vrindavan, and he was actually approached by Gopal. And then in a dream, he excavated Gopal from the bushes and installed him. And there was great worship, Anakut. All the villagers came and offered prasad to Gopal. And after a couple of years, Madhavendra Puri was instructed in a dream by Gopal to go and collect sandalwood paste, which he did. He started off right away doing that. And on the way, he stopped in this very town, Ramuna. And there he was awestruck by the worship of Gopinath in Ramuna. And he wanted to taste the kheer offered to Gopinath so he could in turn offer it to his Gopal in Vrindavan. And then he felt bad because the kheer wasn't offered, so by the supreme arrangement of Gopinath, he hid some kheer for Madhavendra Puri, which the pujari brought to him. And then Madhavendra Puri was overwhelmed with gratitude, but he also didn't want the fame that would accompany that pastime. So he immediately left for Jagannath Puri. He collected the sandalwood. He was going back with the sandalwood. And again, he was instructed by Gopal, you give the sandalwood to Gopinath. So now that Gopinath is famous as Chirachara Gopinath, he stole the cheer for Madhavendra Puri. Then the small group went on, and they came to a town called Cuttack. And there Lord Nityananda Prabhu related this pastime, which we heard over several months, about two Brahmins who were touring, and the younger Brahmin was serving the elder Brahmin. And the elder Brahmin was very indebted for the service and saw the qualifications of this younger Brahmin and offered his daughter in marriage. And the younger Brahmin realized, had some foresight, that there would be some troubles with this. But the elder brother and the elder Brahmin insisted. And there were indeed troubles when the news went back to the family of the elder Brahmin. And as a result of those troubles, this younger Brahmin went and induced Gopal to come and bear witness. And so then there's Sakshi Gopal, the witness Gopal. So this was over the previous chapters. And then what happened was Lord Nityananda Prabhu was entrusted with the danda of Lord Chaitanya. And for his own internal reasons, Lord Nityananda Prabhu broke that danda and threw it in the river. And when Lord Chaitanya requested his danda, Nityananda told him some story why he didn't have it. And Lord Chaitanya externally became upset with this, because he said, my one possession was the danda, and now the danda has been broken. So he said to his four companions, either you go ahead to Jagannath Puri and I'll go behind you, or I'll go ahead and I don't want to travel with you. So for that reason, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived ahead of his four companions in Jagannath Puri. They came later. And he immediately went to the temple of Jagannath and was overwhelmed with ecstasy and fell down in his ecstatic trance. And the watchman was going to beat him, perhaps thinking that he was a sahajiya, he was just pretending. But fortunately, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was present at that time and forbade the watchman to beat him. And he had Lord Chaitanya, with the help of the watchman, carried to his home, which was near the temple. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was quite concerned because there was no symptoms of life in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And finally, he held a very fine piece of cotton in front of his nostrils. His abdomen wasn't moving, but this fine piece of cotton moved just slightly. So then he had some hope that there was still life in his body. Now, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a very erudite scholar of Vedanta. So erudite that we find earlier in this chapter, chapter 6, that when he saw these ecstatic symptoms in the body of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he recognized them as highly unusual, exalted signs. He says here, this is text 12 of the same chapter, chapter 6. Upon seeing the sign of Sudipta Sattvika, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya could immediately understand the transcendental ecstatic transformation in the body of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Such a sign takes place only in the bodies of eternally liberated devotees. Then the next text, 13. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya considered the uncommon ecstatic symptoms of Adhirudha Bhava are appearing in the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is very wonderful. How are they possible in the body of a human being? So this gives a little indication of his erudition. I think that's a word. And then later on we'll find in this chapter that for 7 days he speaks Vedanta Sutra to Lord Chaitanya, trying to enlighten Lord Chaitanya. So there's no doubt that he's a highly qualified, materially speaking, a highly qualified scholar. And yet, because he does not have a trace of the favor of the Lord, the prasad of the Lord, by devotional service, he is blind, completely blind to the fact that Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Gopinath Acharya is here trying to impress that upon him, that only by the mercy of the Lord can the Lord be understood, not by speculation, not by guesswork, not by hypothesis. And how to receive the mercy of the Lord, that must come from him. That is his prerogative. So this is a very fundamental principle of Krishna consciousness, of Prabhupada's teachings, of Krishna's teachings. If we turn to the great acharyas like Jiva Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami says, unless one accepts the inconceivable nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one does not accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Or to put it in positive terms, if we accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we must accept that he has inconceivable potencies. So this means that it requires some submission. It requires some submission. It's not that we can storm the gates and demand to know Krishna, but rather Krishna is achintya. That means that he is beyond our sense perception. He is also beyond the reach of our minds. There's a very wonderful word, adhokshaja, adhokshaja. So Sanskrit is an amazing language. The word adhokshaja contains aksha. Aksha means eyes, and it also means all our senses. And ja means born of, so akshaja, born of what we can perceive with our eyes, our sense of touch, our ears, our smell, our taste, and so forth, and including our mind. And adhokshaja, ad means down. So it means the Lord is above whatever we can perceive with our five senses, whatever we can conceive within our intellect, whatever we can conceive within our mind, the Lord is above that. Therefore, he is adhokshaja. So therefore, if he is above all our perceptions, all our mental ability, all our intellectual ability, how can we possibly know him? It's not possible. Therefore, he is known by his mercy, his prasad, which is what's stated in this verse. And you don't need tons of prasad, lesha. Lesha means only a trace of his prasad. There's also a statement, avan manasa gochara. Manasa refers to the mind, and gochara is beyond the jurisdiction. So he is beyond the jurisdiction of the mind, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this means that mercy is essential for us. We are mercy objects, objects of mercy, that we're here, sitting here together, trying to understand and absorb ourselves in the pastimes and in the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead means that we've been touched by this mercy of the Lord. And it's emphasized throughout our teachings. Every morning we sing Yasya Prasada and Bhagavat Prasada, that it is by the mercy of the spiritual master that we receive the mercy of Krishna. Without the mercy of the spiritual master, There's no chance of making advancement. There's no chance of understanding the Lord. And this beautiful song we just sang, you see in the third line, Yahara Prasade Bhai E Bhava Tariya Yai. So there's Prasad again. Bhai means brothers. It doesn't come in the translation. He's saying, oh brothers, by the mercy of the spiritual master, E Bhava, that this material creation, this Bhava, we can pass beyond it, Tariya Yai. Otherwise, how can we pass beyond it without that mercy, without Krishna's desire for us to do so, which comes from the spiritual master? Also, it's mentioned, we see the last line in the second verse, Ye Prasade Pure Sava Asa. That all the lines are amazing. That's especially amazing. It means by his mercy, by the mercy of the spiritual master, Pure means fulfilled. Fulfilled. Sarva Asa means all my hopes, all my desires will be fulfilled by the mercy of the spiritual master. I was very confused by that line for a long time. And then I thought that as we go on with this process, because some years ago, I don't know if you've heard of it, there was something very popular called the secret, that if you pray to the universe will grant your desires for our, for whatever it is you want. This was the rage for some time. So I was thinking, all my hopes, all my desires will be fulfilled by the mercy of the spiritual master. How is this possible? But then as we go on with the process of Krishna consciousness, our hopes and desires are purified. So the Ferrari is no longer part of our hopes and desires and all other material things. Rather, our desires and our hopes become spiritualized. And then certainly the spiritual master can, by his mercy, fulfill all those hopes and all those desires. So the idea is here that the mercy of the spiritual master means that we acquire some taste for Krishna consciousness, some appreciation for the gift that we've received of Krishna consciousness, and some little bit of knowledge about the Lord, about our position in this material world. And that is evidence of mercy. It's not that we can say something good happened to me, so that's Krishna's mercy. If something bad happened to me, that's not Krishna's mercy. It's all Krishna's mercy. Whatever appears, materially speaking, good or bad. There's a beautiful example of that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita with Chota Haridas, story of Chota Haridas. That Chota Haridas was asked by Bhagavan Acharya to get some rice. Bhagavan Acharya was going to cook for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he asked Chota Haridas to beg for some rice. And he begged not from an ordinary person, but he begged from Madhavi Mahiti, who was an exalted devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so they cooked. Lord Chaitanya appreciated the high quality of that rice that Madhavi Devi donated. And then he asked who has brought the rice, and they said, oh, Chota Haridas has brought the rice. And Lord Chaitanya said, I don't want Chota Haridas to come in my company anymore. And the devotees didn't, you know, what did he do? He was an associate of the Lord. He used to sing for the Lord. No one could quite figure out what the problem was. And Chota Haridas fasted for 3 days, you know. And then it was revealed through different questions that Prabhupada actually says in a conversation that when he went to beg from Madhavi Devi, within the home of Madhavi Devi was a relative of her, probably her granddaughter, a young relative. And Chota Haridas had looked at this granddaughter of Madhavi Devi inappropriately with lust. And Lord Chaitanya would not tolerate any hypocrisy in his movement. And this Chota Haridas was living as a Babaji, as a brahmachari, and he says, if he has these feelings, he should become a grihastha. Lord Chaitanya was himself a grihastha. He had many, many grihastha disciples, and he accepted them fully. But he did not want hypocrisy. And so he refused to allow Chota Haridas in his association, even though he was appealed to by great, great devotees, Ramananda Roy, Paramananda Puri. He said, you know, if you insist in this way, I'll leave, and you can stay here with Chotaridas and the others. And so they understood that he was not going to relent. And Chotaridas, a year later, committed suicide as a result. And the devotees were thinking, you know, what happened to him? Maybe he became a ghost by committing suicide. But actually, he did receive the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's not in the ways that we ordinarily think of mercy, but he did receive a spiritual body, and he was singing for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for his pleasure. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a point to make, a very strong point, and he made it very strongly through this example of Chotaridas, and this was the result. So it means that whatever we experience in this life, if we can remain focused on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whether it appears externally good or externally bad, we shouldn't take that into account, but we should remain firm in our conviction that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna are kind to their devotees. They want the devotees back with them, even more than the devotees want to be back with them. And therefore, they're extending their mercy in ways that perhaps we cannot understand at the time. So this was also a point that Lord Brahma makes in this chapter 14. I thought we could read some verses from that chapter because they're quite relevant to this point. Let's see. This is the fourth verse of the 14th chapter of the 10th canto. Lord Brahma says, "My dear Lord, devotional service to you is the best path for self-realization. If someone gives up that path and engages in the cultivation of speculative knowledge, he will simply undergo a troublesome process and will not achieve his desired result. As a person who beats an empty husk of wheat grain cannot get the grain, one who simply speculates cannot achieve self-realization. His only gain is trouble." So the idea here is that Krishna says in the Gita that by all the Vedas he is to be known. He is the compiler of the Vedas. He is the knower of the Vedas. By all the Vedas he is to be known. I'm going to see the Lord in a moment. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda, Jai Shri Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yeah, by all the Vedas he is to be known. He's the knower of the Vedas, he's the compiler of the Vedas. And we find here Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya externally knew the Vedas, but because he did not have this spiritual master to give him the mercy of the Lord, he missed the compiler, the knower of the Vedas. He missed Krishna's presence. And that's what Lord Brahma is saying here, that because he was relying on his own intellect, because he was relying just on what his mind could conceive, he was speculating. And despite all his endeavors, it was like if you have a husk of grain and you've already taken the grain out, you've already taken the wheat out, and you go on beating that husk, it's useless, it's a waste of time, a waste of energy. It's only trouble. And another verse from this 14th chapter. "In time, learned philosophers or scientists might be able to count all the atoms of the earth, all the particles of snow, or perhaps even the shining molecules radiating from the sun, the stars and other luminaries. But among these learned men, who could possibly count the unlimited transcendental qualities possessed by you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who have descended onto the surface of the earth for the benefit of all living entities?" So this is a reiteration of Krishna as being beyond our conception. How can we conceive that the person who creates all material universes is here standing on our altar? That from his pores, the universes are emanating. And within each universe is Brahma, Brahma creates all the 14 planetary systems and the 8,400,000 species of life on those planetary systems. And here he is receiving an offering. It's beyond our conception. It's just achintya, adhokshaja, avanmanasa gochara. We are very, very small, and if we appreciate our smallness and just get a glimpse of Krishna's greatness, then we can feel some small amount of affection for him, and by his mercy and by the mercy of our spiritual master, some small amount of devotion for him, we hope. We pray for that. So there are a few more verses, incredible verses from Lord Brahma. This one, perhaps some of you know. Tate nukampam susamikshamano unjana evatma kritam vipakam vidvagvapuvir vividam namaste jiveta yo mukti pade sadvayam. That's the eighth verse of this 14th chapter. My dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds, and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words, and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. So this idea of submission is here from Lord Brahma, who is the head of our parampara, our foremost authority. So we can take it from him that if we want the Lord's mercy, we want his prasad, then we simply accept whatever Krishna gives us, and all the time remembering his greatness and our smallness and praying for his kindness upon us. And then we will be eligible for that mercy. And he says in the 11th verse, what am I, a small creature, measuring seven spans of my own hand? I am enclosed in a pot-like universe composed of material nature, the total material energy, false ego, ether, air, fire, water, and earth. And what is your glory? Unlimited universes pass through the pores of your body, just as particles of dust pass through the openings of a screened window. O Lord Adhoksaja, does a mother take offense when the child within her womb kicks with his legs? And is there anything in existence, whether designated by various philosophers as real or as unreal, that is actually outside your abdomen? So here Brahma admits that he's committed a grave offense to the Lord by stealing his cows and calves and cowherd boys. And he's asking for the Lord's mercy because he says, you're like the mother, everything is within you. And so the child is kicking in the womb, but the mother is an offense. So Brahma made a little kick. He stole the cows and calves and cowherd boys. He says, please don't take offense. Please have mercy on me, as a mother would have mercy on her child. And then in the Brahma Samhita, later on, Brahma says, I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, only the tip of the toe of whose lotus feet is approached by the yogis who aspire after the transcendental and betake themselves to pranayama by drilling the respiration, or by the jnanis who try to find out the non-differentiated Brahman by the process of elimination of the mundane, extending over thousands of millions of years. So Lord Krishna says that he's available to the devotees. He tells us that very clearly in the Bhagavad Gita. And he's explaining Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, because Arjuna is his devotee and his friend. And he's not available to those yogis and jnanis who are just using very limited abilities, limited material abilities, and not surrendering to the Lord, not begging for his mercy. So we can pray that it's a beautiful prayer that I could really relate to by Rupa Goswami. He says, I was born in a very low family. I have no attraction for your service. I have no attraction for being with your devotees, but still I am eager for these things, and that eagerness is giving me pain because I think I'm so unqualified for these things. So in that state, I am bound to the Lord by hope, hope against hope, asha bandha. So this can be our prayer, that the Lord will accept us despite our disqualifications, and we will receive His mercy, even just lesha, even just a trace of His mercy, come closer to Him. So maybe there's some discussions. We have 5 minutes left, if there's some discussion about these various points. Arjuna Prabhu, is there a microphone?
With regards to his apparent non-forgiveness of Chota Haridas, it occurs to me that in Bhagavatam too, there's this concession that if in the mind there's a thought that it's not considered a sin in this age of Kali unless it manifests itself. And I'm trying to think, but it's in the Bhagavatam first canto. And so how do we view what happened to Chota Haridas? Because it didn't really manifest. The only thing that manifested was the Lord Chaitanya got his rice. Or do we just consider, like you say, it was just an example to us? You know, how does that compare with our situation? If we have a thought of lust or whatever it is, but we don't act upon it, what is the situation as you understand it?
Yeah, I actually have here the conversation that where Prabhupada mentions that that it may have been her daughter or granddaughter. It was in 1975. This was Rameshwar. Rameshwar says, "The story of Chota Haridas, I was very surprised to find that his talking with that woman, which was in the service of the Lord, he was going for the service of the Lord, and she was very advanced. He was very confused." I think at that time all of us were confused by this pastime. Prabhupada said, "No, it is not that. There was some young woman sitting there, and he glanced over her with lusty desire, not that old woman." Rameshwar, that was her sister or daughter? Prabhupada. "No, daughter, granddaughter maybe. She was a Madhavi Devi was a very old lady." So it was simply in his mind for Chota Haridas. He did not act on it. But as I tried to say, that Lord Chaitanya was rooting out this hypocrisy. He was making a point. And the mercy was still fully there for Chota Haridas. He took That's why I was trying to say that we can't tell externally what mercy may look like. We have our own material conception of this is mercy, this is not mercy. But for a devotee, they see it's all mercy. It's all mercy. We see it in that consciousness.
Yes. Okay, thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for your attention. Thank you for being here. All glories to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.